Word of God this morning to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Our text will be found in verse 8 of this chapter. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be after hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. This far we read God's word. Our text is found in Revelation 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The verse that we consider this morning does not really seem to say all that much about the new year. Really, it gives us a name of Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. But as we stand at the beginning of a new year, the year 2009, we need something to guide us through this year that is to come. We need a Word of God that will give us good, sound instruction as we walk through another year. And really, this passage does not seem to give us all that much advice for this year. We receive a name. What practical good can a name of Jesus Christ serve you and me in this new year to come. This, that name of Jesus Christ gives you and me all the hope that is necessary for us once again to live in a new year. In this year to come, all of us will become another year older. In this year to come, there will be all kinds of events that take place in our lives and in our families. Time always changes things. There's no doubt about that. But there is one thing in our lives, people of God, that will never change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. And for that reason, our Lord and our Savior is that rock to which you and I must once again cling in this year to come for our comfort and for our strength that we might walk through a new year. We need not fret about what is going to happen to us in this new year to come because we know that our Lord is here and that our Lord leads us and protects us in all of life. He will guard through dangers all, will not suffer me to fall, and He will keep us day by day. All that in a name. Alpha and Omega. That's the name that is unique to Jesus Christ here in this book of Revelation. It's mentioned twice in the chapter that we read this morning here in our text and in verse 11. And then it's mentioned once in chapter 21 and once in chapter 22. And in all four of these occurrences, it's Jesus Christ Himself that speaks of Himself as the Alpha and the Omega. No one addresses Him by that name. No one calls Him by that name. But it is a name that Christ uses now Himself to speak of Himself. And for that reason, it's a special name, a name that has significance for you and me, a name that Christ has set aside in order to encourage us as His saints. And it's that name of Christ that we wish to consider for a few moments this morning, and a name that ought to be upon our lips now throughout the new year to come. Alpha and Omega. That's what we're going to consider for a little while this morning. Christ is Alpha and Omega. The one who calls Himself Alpha and Omega in our text is Jesus Christ. There are those commentators that want to say it's God. Some want to refer to the fact that perhaps it might even be John himself. But from our text and from the context itself, we know that this is Jesus Christ speaking to us. We read the verse immediately before our text. We find, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen." Who is the passage talking about? But Christ Himself, who will return at the end of time. And then, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord." The Lord here of the passage that we are speaking is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who calls Himself Alpha and Omega. Better. It is the Lord who calls Himself Alpha and Omega. The risen and the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God and rules in the heavens, comes to you and to me this morning, and He puts a name in front of us. And that name is Alpha and Omega. We emphasize, of course, the term Lord in the passage before us because the Lord is the one who addresses Himself as Alpha and Omega. A Lord is a person that has power and authority to rule over others. He's a man of rank. He's a man of high position. And that position of authority over others, he gains either by means of hereditary right. In other words, it's passed on to him from father to son, and hereditary right means He has that name and that authority and that power to rule because it's given to him. But it is also a term that speaks of the fact of one who might gain or earn that position of honor and power. For that reason, one who is a lord exercises leadership and exercises great power, and those under that lord must render unto him honor and service and obedience. Christ is the Lord. We enter into that new year before us, the year 2009. How 2008 has gone so fast. The year 2009 already. We enter into this new year encouraged to know that Christ is Lord. He is the Lord. There's no one of any higher power, any higher rank, no one of any higher authority than Jesus Christ himself, who sits at the right hand of God and who rules over all of this world. He is the sovereign Lord of every person, every event, every circumstance of life that takes place in this world. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what we sing concerning him. I say, beloved saints, there is nothing more encouraging for you and me in this new year than to know that. Christ's rank and Christ's position of authority is his for two reasons. It's his by hereditary right. After all, Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and as God, he has the right and the power to rule over everything in this world. But we also know and realize that by means of Christ's humiliation, he earned the right to rule over all. Through all of his humiliation, he earned the right to be exalted now and to sit at God's right hand and to be able, as Christ, to rule over all of the affairs of this present world. Christ has overcome sin. Christ has overcome death. Christ has overcome Satan. Christ has overcome the power of the law. He battled against these when he hung there upon the cross of Calvary. And because of that work that Christ accomplished on the cross for you and me, he is given a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow. Everyone is called, therefore, in this world, is called to render service and obedience and honor to that name of Jesus Christ. He's Lord. Now that gives us hope in this new year to come, because we realize this Lord who sovereignly reigns in the heavens, he's our Savior. We belong to him. The one who rules over all things. We are his precious possession, because Christ, by means of his death and his resurrection, has bought us unto himself. We belong to him. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered Satan for us, for you and me. And that means that that Lord in heaven is the Lord who loves us, the Lord who has gone the way of the cross and now reigns over all things on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. And his rule, therefore, at God's right hand is not just this rule of power and might so that providentially he guides all things according to God's sovereign will, but that rule of Jesus Christ is for our benefit. It's a rule for the Church anyway, a rule of grace and a rule of love for us. And that in turn means that whatever may befall you and me in this year to come, or whatever might befall his church in this year to come, is all in his hands. He's directing it. All the affairs of this world. How often we have had to remind ourselves of that in this year gone by. And we can be sure that in this new year to come, we will often have to remind ourselves of that once again. All things are held in the hands of our sovereign God. We ought not to forget that our Lord is sitting in the heavens and that He is executing perfectly and exactly in all of its little details the plan of God with respect to our salvation. So we stand at the very beginning of a new year. Let's remind ourselves of that truth that is before us. This is the year of our Lord, 2009. He lives and He reigns over all things and directs them according to God's sovereign will. Now, there's a couple of attributes that really stand out in this passage too that cannot be overlooked. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There's the two attributes. He's the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. That's one attribute of His that we're going to describe. And the other is the fact that He is Almighty. And we're going to look at that second one of those two attributes of our Savior first. You know, there have been in this present world some very, very mighty leaders. Very mighty leaders. When you look at the kings of the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, those were mighty leaders of the Roman Empire. They were powerful. They were able to execute vengeance on how many nations that they conquered in this world. And they were able to somehow execute their rule over all of those nations in the world at that time. Very powerful leaders. I look at the fact that Saddam Hussein himself was a very powerful leader in Iraq. He had everyone there in Iraq under his thumb. But you know, as powerful as those leaders might be, there's one thing that's not true of them. They are not all powerful. They are not all mighty. As mighty as that they might be, they are not almighty. And the Lord shows that, huh? There might have been that powerful ruler over the Assyrian Empire, and here came the Babylonian Empire and conquered him, and another one took his place. Pharaoh may have been powerful in Egypt. God destroyed him with the 10 plagues. Babylon may have been, or the Tower of Babel may have been a powerful kingdom, and God came and destroyed that by confusing the languages. There is no king in this world that is almighty. That's not true of Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty Lord of heaven and earth. All creatures stand under His control, and there is not one of them that can break outside of the control of our Lord. Not one of them, not Satan himself. It's ludicrous when we have theologians today who want to say that God and Satan are two equal powers and that who is going to win is really up for grabs in this world. It's not true. Satan is under Jesus Christ, our Lord, and performs His will. The heathen of this world may rage, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 2. The kings of the earth may set themselves over against God and over against His anointed Son in order to break away somehow from their rule. And the crazy part of it is, in this year to come, they will imagine a vain thing, the peoples of this world. And the thing that they will imagine is that somehow they have broken outside of the rule of Jesus Christ. And that they are able to perform what they want to perform as man in this world. But that does not deny the fact that Jesus Christ rules. And that in an almighty sovereign way. They cannot break outside the bands that God has placed upon them. They cannot break outside of the rule of God's anointed Son in the heavens. Christ is in control. Let's not forget that. In all of those little details of our life that come up in the year 2009. Let's not forget that. Christ is in control. He reigns, and He is almighty to perform His sovereign will and good pleasure in this world. In His power and His might, He directs the nations and the peoples of this world. In the power and His might, He directs everything that's taking place in the church. In His power and His might, He's directing everything that takes place in our individual lives and our families. And He does that in order that He might bring about His second coming. Behold, He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him someday. Verse 7 of this chapter. Every man will give account to this Lord of heaven and earth. And in the year 2009, we need not fear a thing. We need not fear the wicked, though he is loud, and though he is boastful, and though he is filled with rage against God. We need not fear the wicked or be intimidated by this unbelieving world. Our Lord reigns, almighty in the heavens. There's the one virtue that's given us in this passage. The other one is not spoken of in one simple term, but in a phrase. Christ is the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Very simply means the same thing that we mentioned earlier in our sermon. Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. He's the same. Christ as God is the unchangeable one. He is ever the same. And if there is comfort that you and I need to have in this new year to come, it is exactly that. Everything changes. Everything. And it can change in the snap of a finger. Just that quickly. Life can be going on in this direction, and we can be as happy can be, and all of a sudden, there's this sharp turn in our lives. And God places upon us some kind of affliction, or He sends upon us the death of a loved one, or He takes away from us completely our health. All of a sudden, that job that we were so comfortable in, we lose. Let's face it. That's the kind of economy that we're living in nowadays. People losing their jobs by the hundreds, the thousands. All kinds of these things take place in our life. And in this new year to come, it's likely that they will too. We always kind of hope that the turn isn't too sharp for us, but it can happen. It can happen. Besides that, we see that sin develops so rapidly in this present world. To look at another year can be frightening. Really. You look at that new year to come and really contemplate it, it can be frightening. What will become of me? What will become of my children in this new year to come? What will become of my family, my brothers, my sisters, my father, my mother? The Lord could easily take them away. What will become of my fellow saints, my fellow members in the Church of Jesus Christ? What curveball is God going to throw at me now in this new year to come? Future is unknown to us, isn't it? It's so uncertain. But again, there's one thing, people of God, that we can be sure of concerning our Lord, the Almighty One, and that is, He is ever the same. He was. As God, He was. As God, He is. And as God, He will be, ever the same, never changing in His attitude toward you and me. What a wonderful thing. Christ never changes in His great love for us. He has loved us in the year 2008, despite all of our sins, despite all of our weaknesses. He has loved us in 2008, and He will love us in the year 2009 too. And remember, beloved saints, Christ is and was and is to come, not only a God or a ruler who rules over us in His love, but Christ never changes as the Almighty One either. You know, it's not as if Christ was all powerful when He first ascended into heaven and took His seat at God's right hand, but as the years have gone by, the world has become more powerful. Satan has become more powerful. Unbelief seems to have the day. And Christ is growing weaker and weaker and weaker. So that some 2009 years later, Christ really isn't all that strong anymore. That's not true. Christ is as strong today as He always has been. He has never changed in His might. And He always will be that almighty ruler of heaven and earth. So no event of our lives will Christ allow to slip by in the year 2009 so that it gets beyond His rule and His control. Won't happen. Won't happen. And everything that takes place in our lives, though sometimes it might seem pretty chaotic, takes place with perfect rhyme and with perfect reason. Christ is ever the same. He loves us. He controls all things, always, as the one who is ever the same. And it is then for that reason, too, that He now finally gives us that name. I am Alpha and Omega. Rather beautiful song that speaks of Christ as the Alpha and Omega. And when you really know the idea and the meaning behind that, then that song can really live in your heart too. I am Alpha and Omega. That name gives you and me, people of God, all the reason to hope in this new year to come. Because Christ is indeed Alpha and Omega. Alpha. First letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So that I suppose if we were to try to put it in modern English, we would say Christ is the A and the Z of all things. And that is emphasized too in the phrase right after the name Alpha and Omega is given us. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. That basically is what that name means. I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I will be the end of all things. Since we have already found out that Christ, the Lord, is the Alpha and the Omega, it's left to us, of course, to understand just exactly what is meant by the fact that Christ is the first and the last. In other words, what message is Christ then conveying to you and to me in this new year in that name? What's He saying to us that will give us hope for this year to come? There's really several different ideas that are expressed for you and me in that name. And we're going to go over them, the first couple rather briefly, because the last one is the one that really receives the emphasis in this passage. The first idea that arises in connection with that name, Alpha and Omega, is this. Christ is divine. Christ is God. And God, as God, He was there in the beginning, and He will be there in the end, too. And the Bible speaks to you and to me of that fact, too. We read of that in John 1, for example, verses 1 and 2. Christ was with God and Christ was God in the beginning when all things were created. Christ was there. So He's the divine Son of God. And since all things are to God and for God, that is to say, since all things find their perfect end in God Himself, the same is true of Jesus Christ. All things find their end in Jesus Christ, their completion, their fulfillment. Their purpose, it's all found in Jesus Christ, and that as the divine Son of God. So there is this underlying idea found there in that term Alpha and Omega, that Christ as God is indeed the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is. And really, that truth undergirds the other ideas that we find in connection with this name. That first of all. Two other truths concerning Christ that the Scriptures present, which are on the foreground in this passage, are these. First, Christ is the first and the last in God's counsel, in God's plan for all things. In other words, before time began, in eternity yet, in God's eternal plan for all things, Christ was decreed or willed first. It wasn't as if God willed the church first and then Christ later. God, from eternity, has willed in His decrees Jesus Christ. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He's the beginning, therefore, of all things according to God's sovereign counsel. All things in history center in Jesus Christ Himself. And because He is the first, for that reason, He is the end too. In other words, Christ being first in the counsel of God, all else being decreed, are decreed in connection with Christ. He was the reason all things were created. He was the reason that we were chosen as God's elect people. We were chosen, we are told in Scripture, in Christ before the foundations of the world. He's first in the counsel of God. And it was for that reason, too, that we are saved in time in Christ. All things, you see, in God's eternal counsel and plan for all things, center in Christ. He's the beginning of it all. He's the end of it all, the purpose of it all. What practical significance does that rather abstract theological idea have for you and me in the year 2009? Okay? It's nice to talk about that. Maybe that's true with respect to this passage. But what does that say about you and me in this year to come? This. Never will God ever view you and me apart from Jesus Christ our Lord. Never. Christ was first in that council. You and I were elected or chosen in connection with Jesus Christ. Already in His council, you and I are viewed by God as one with Jesus Christ. And we know that because in time, God has inseparably bound you and me to Christ by faith. So that in this year 2009, there will never be a time, no matter what circumstance of life through which we go, that God will not see us in Christ. Good thing. Because if Christ would see, or God would see us for a moment without Christ, we'd perish. When I falter around in my sin, and when the thought of God is the farthest thing from my mind, I belong to Christ, whose blood has covered me, and in whom from all eternity God sees me. And in 2009, we're going to falter and we're going to stumble. But never will we be seen by God apart from Christ. What a wonderful thing to bear with us into a new year. That in the second place. In the third place, Christ is the beginning of our salvation and He is the end of it too. And maybe that's what stands on the foreground here and stares us right in the face. In the passage within its context. There's two comings of Christ. Christ came in His original advent. Just celebrated that, didn't we? 2008 years ago, approximately. Christ came. And in that first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, He suffered the death of the cross. He has earned for you and me the forgiveness of sins. And then through His resurrection has earned for us life everlasting. He's the beginning of our salvation. It finds its source, you see, in that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we realize, don't we, that salvation that Christ has earned for us on the cross has not been fulfilled yet. That is fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes at the end of time. He's the first, the Alpha. He's performed that work for you and me on the cross. But He's also the Omega, who at the end of time will usher in our complete and final salvation when you and I will be given the joys of eternal glory. And that's His promise to us in this year to come. He's coming. And He carries with Him that full and complete salvation which is ours when He comes. And even people of God, if in this year to come, Christ does not arrive, nevertheless, we know He carries with Him that promise of a perfect and a complete salvation. And maybe Christ will come for us as individuals in this year, in death. But at that time, too, He'll fulfill that promise to you and to me. We know that He that has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete that work. Christ will preserve us unto His second coming in this year to come. And when He comes, He'll dispel all night for us. And He'll usher us into that kingdom where God and Lamb are the light of it. And that light for us will be no more sin, but perfection and eternal bliss at God's right hand. There's the kingdom of true peace, the kingdom of true joy, the kingdom of true happiness that is ours. And it's coming this year. That kingdom of perfect heavenly bliss is coming this year. Christ, even now, is establishing His kingdom in all of the earth, in the hearts of His elect people that He calls by means of the gospel. And that kingdom will be brought to its perfect completion and its perfect end when Christ comes at the end of time. He's the Omega. And that is what gives us hope now in this new year to come. Our King, our Lord Jesus Christ, is coming this year. That ought not to surprise us, of course. He's been coming ever since He ascended into heaven. We probably ought to look at that as going on a trip. When my son-in-law and daughter left Colorado to travel here, then we said, they're coming. They've left. They're on their way. Now, maybe they didn't arrive that first day or second day, but they were on their way. They were coming. That's true of Jesus Christ. He's coming in the year 2009. He may not arrive this year, but He is on His way. Jesus Christ is coming. He is not only the Alpha, but He is the Omega. Not only the beginning, but the ending of all things. And He will come. He will come. And we, as God's children, in whom God works by His grace, look forward in great hope for that coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what ought to motivate us now in this new year to come, in our homes, in our families, so that we can set our house in order. That if Jesus Christ were to return in the year 2009, we would be ready for Him. Everything is in order for His return. That's what must give you and me the zeal and the dedication now in this year to come once again to carry on the work of the church. We get that little charge, in us so that we want to carry on that work. But as that work goes on, we don't see great results, then the tendency is to kind of tire out. No. Christ is coming. In this year to come, we set our spiritual house in order so that if He were to return, He would see you and me in zeal in the midst of His church, carrying out the call to spread the gospel to others. That's what motivates us, you see, as God's children in this year to come. We approach the year with zeal. We approach the year with enthusiasm because you and I represent the cause of the Alpha and the Omega in this world. The beginning of this year must be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as well as the end of this year, because Christ is the beginning of this year, and Christ is the end of this year. And Christ will preserve us in our going out and in our coming in, just as He has preserved us in the year gone by, He's going to preserve us in this year. Praise His name, people of God. The hope that is mine, the hope that is yours, gives us incentive to live and be fruitful in God's kingdom in this year to come. What hope is ours? What longing for that coming of our Savior. Christ is King. Onward, Christian soldiers. Onward into the new year we go. And we fight against evil. And we stand for the right. And when Christ comes again, He will see us standing in all faithfulness before Him with this prayer upon our lips. Come, Lord Jesus. Yea, come quickly. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and we thank Thee that in this new year to come, that Word might be there to guide us and to keep us. And we pray that Thou wilt send forth the Spirit of our risen Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, that we might strive to live as those who look for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou dost give unto us such great assurance and such great strength to go forth in this year to come. Now give us the hope, too, to live in this year. And keep us, Father, from sin. Thou bless us now, and where we stumble into sin, we pray forgive us for the sake of that risen Lord to whom we belong now and unto all eternity. In His name we pray. Amen. We sing together 259, the Universal King. Sing to the Lord, sing His praise, all ye peoples. New be your song, as new honors ye pay. Sing of His majesty, bless Him forever, show His salvation from day to day. Let's sing together stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. We'll skip 3 and 5. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of 259. Sing to the Lord, sing His praise, all ye peoples. New be your song, as new honors ye pay. Sing of His majesty, bless Him forever. Show His salvation from day to day.
of his wondrous works, tell of his glory, till through the nations his name is revered. Praise and exalt him, for he is almighty. God over all, let the Lord be feared. Give unto God most high glory and honor. Come with your offerings and humbly draw near. In holy beauty now worship Jehovah. Bow before him with godly fear. Let heaven and earth be glad, waves of the ocean. God is coming, the judge of the nations, coming to judge in his righteousness.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.